As I had shared earlier, we are coming to the close of Camp Days, where we've reviewed ways to share love and show love through the church by connecting our five promises we make when we join the United Methodist Church of presence, prayers, gifts, talents, and witnessing, which was added after the hymnals had been printed, but is one of the five commitments we make. And we connected them to Dr. Gary Chapman's five languages of love. That presence is that quality time. Prayers are like words of affirmation. Gifts are gifts. Service, acts of service. And today, witness is connected to touch. Dr. Gary Chapman truly means touch as a physical contact, the hugs, the fist bumps, the high fives, the kisses, just being next to someone. And in the last couple of years, we have given the gift of space, respecting people's boundaries, giving them space for all the big feelings that were coming through everything happening, respecting and trying to stop the spread of the virus as a way of protection, of health, and being aware of each other, perhaps needing something different. But also, hopefully, when we witness, we are touching others' hearts. Today, to close us up, we're going to be going to a very short book in the Bible, Philemon. It is a letter from Paul to Philemon. It's called one of the pastoral epistles. If you would join me, it is near the end of the Bible. They have the page number, and it is truly a one-chapter book. So if you get past Titus, it's the one right after that. If you start to get into Hebrews or John's or the Peters, you're too far. But please join me in the letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all of the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet, I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful for both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So some of us could read this letter and actually call Paul very passive-aggressive, or we could say urging with a nudge. See, Paul wanted to give Philemon a chance to do a good thing. But sometimes for us to do a good thing, we need a little hearty nudge, a little reminder of all that we've been given. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we take it for granted. And sometimes we forget to pass it on. So Paul is giving Philemon this chance. And please know, Philemon is a generous, generous guy. He also has the resources to be a generous, generous guy. But he chooses to give. That truly is one of his gifts of generosity. And we know this, he's mentioned in Colossians. But this also has led him to have a slave. It was in the times, one of those things that was commonplace. Sometimes we can see things that aren't right, but we feel it's too overwhelming to step up and change it. Paul knows he can't change the culture overnight, but he does know he can change it one by one. Doing something will lead to a bigger result. Hopefully it will encourage others to do the right thing when they witness others speaking out about it and sharing ways and how it can happen. Paul really cares for Philemon. He considers him also a son in Christ, brother in Christ, that they learn together how to move this church forward, how to really start this belief and follow of Christ. See, Onesimus was a slave, did not have a choice. When Philemon asked for something or demanded it, it was Onesimus's job to respond and do. Being a slave and being a servant are completely different outlooks. A slave becomes property and not even seen as human, of having a choice, that they should be grateful for even mistreatment. They are denounced. They might even be treated as invisible. That they are to be a workhorse and get the job done. And it was so commonplace, very few people spoke out against it. Just because everyone's doing it doesn't make it right. And so Paul, with love and a nudge, and with very strong wording, encouraged Philemon to do the right thing. Onesimus ran away. We tend to run away when we are fearful. We run away when we feel mistreated, hurt, that there has to be something better, or anything is better than what's going on. Going through mistreatment or abuse. These are some of the reasons people leave. In the middle of the night, possibly stealing for survival, but to get out to save themselves. Onesimus comes across Paul. Paul knows who Onesimus is. And he offers God. He offers the lessons of Jesus. Paul is imprisoned in his own house for being a believer. He had done nothing wrong that we would consider sin for why his arrest. But please remember, Paul did come from a place of sin, but did not believe it. As a Jewish believer, he was one of the most loyal soldiers in one of the most elite sects. He was the top of the line. And he came upon a conversion in Acts 9, that is our history after the Gospels, We will be, the next sermon series is Paul's letters to Timothy. So if you would like to read up a little bit on Paul, I would encourage you to spend some time in Acts, especially the conversion, Acts 9, as we will some advice that Paul gives to Timothy. As we explore those, there will be some big lessons. Because Paul likes to pack a big message. And so to Philemon, he gently reminds him, "Hey, I could tell you to be nice to Onesimus. I could order it and command it of you, but I want you to choose." That's kind of how God comes to us too. "I gave you your whole life for eternity. But when you serve me, I want you to serve me with a servant's heart, a cheerful heart of giving. I could pull rank, I could tell you and list all the good stuff I've done for you. But I want you to choose this way." So when Paul says, "I'm returning Onesimus, though I think he could do a lot of good in your honor, I want you to welcome him back." Now remember, as the owner, Philemon has every right to hurt this man in that culture, in that time. Running away is a huge disobedience. But Paul is reminding Philemon, "Hey, you're a servant too. You have this wonderful opportunity to forgive. That when he comes back, instead of mistreatment, make a room for him like you would for me. The best linens set up for comfort, set up as respect and honor. Please do that for Onesimus. I've grown fond of him. He's like a son to me now. For as much faith and growth that he's gone through, please honor that. When he comes in, he's a guest. He is like a brother in Christ to you now. And if something had happened when he left, if you are missing anything, perhaps if Onesimus had stolen to get him out of Dodge, I've got you. I will pay whatever debt you feel he owes you. The loss of service, the loss of any material. By the way, you yourself owe everything to me because I have introduced you to Christ. I have given you this whole new world and faith. But if there is any debt to be paid, I've got Onesimus' debt." Sometimes that's how we have to step up. Amen. Sometimes we have to offer tenderness, but also a little tough love. But that's coming from our own witness. Not everything we experience, others will understand. I love a faith story. And Paul is telling Philemon, "You are changing lives." I hear it all the time in verses 6 and 7 and even 5. Your love is outstanding. People are recognizing the good you're doing. And it's encouraging them and spurring them to go do good. That is what witnessing is about. I have something so amazing I have to share. Now, sometimes you will share a God moment and others won't understand. That's not how they perceive God. It's still your gift to share. But how they receive it is on them. I believe in angels. I believe in miracles. I believe in some little instances I've seen God and said, "Thank you so much." Anyone who sees me on Facebook, I lifted up prayers from my car last week. It's very silly. I would not normally do it, but I'd had a rough day. And when we left the potluck, we almost didn't get over the train tracks. The car shuddered, changed completely. Our little tantrum had gone full-blown catastrophe fit. And all I was thinking is, I'm like, this train track is so active. Please do not strand my car here. And we got over it, finally kicked up to the gear, and I wasn't going to get on the interstate. I was just going to pull over on the road, and I'm like, I know that interstate well. There's no stopping. That's where my car has trouble. We're going to go. and Drew was in the car with me. And that, of course, changes everything, because I too wanted to be upset. But I had to go in mama mode. Anyone who's ever had to be the adult in the situation, and you're like, this is fine. The car shuddering, the car stopping, it's great. It's okay. We are going to get through it. And with a prayer, I got on the interstate. The last place it really freaked out is that we live off of 14, Highway 14 in Greer. It's that interstate, Greer, that's a big turn. And my car was like, no, ma'am. And we got over, and then I was like, the speed bus, we had one more light we had to get through, and I was like, please be green so we can get on through. Like, taking the curve, like, all of a sudden it kicked into fourth gear, I don't know. And we did get home because we had no more stops, and that sucker parked. Turned out it was the transmission. But I was so grateful to get home safely with my son in the car. I 100% give that to the prayers I asked you all to lift up. I thank you so much. We had a lot of holy moments on the road this week, but I do want to open this up to you for your God breeze moments, for those moments of maybe miraculous healing, for maybe that it could be, and people can go, oh, it was science or it was a coincidence, and you can call it whatever you want, that's fine. Your God moment is your God moment. If God spoke to you, if God gave you holy peace, if God made a decision that you woke up in the middle of the night and it changed your whole world, that's your God moment. Please don't let anyone talk you out of your faith and out of your story. If they don't take your gift or your offering, that's fine. That's still between you and God. That didn't change. You are still allowed to believe that God prompted you, urged you, spoke to you, shone in light. This is backed up in the Bible and has no idea just asking how you are changed your whole life. Is there anyone who would like to lift up a God moment? For those who couldn't hear, in April, Drew was playing football with his friends, completely innocent, fell backwards, caught himself. But he knew something was wrong, just something felt wrong. So he went to his friends, he's like, get your parents immediately. There wasn't a lot of tears, but it's like, this is not right. And a friend and the parents came out, and she drove him over to our place, they just live a block over. And she's like, I don't think it's broken, but he said to come get you. He was completely calm through it, just holding it kind of weird. There was a weird pop, like just a weird shape. And I said, yeah, let's go to urgent care. I called, tried to get him into his own doctor. They're like, yeah, our x-rays are down. You might as well go to urgent. I'm not kidding you. The doctor's name was Dr. Brake. Right there, you don't feel so confident. But then he came in calmly after the x-rays, too. He's like, yep, it's broken. And I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. Can you say that again? Because it sounded like he was like, yeah, just throw an ice pack on. It'll be fine. But sometimes that's how God speaks to you. Like, this is a crisis moment. We're going to deal with it peacefully, but go get it checked. Any other God moments? Praise God. Amen. That's a very scary moment. You're already doing all you can for your health, and they're like, oh, we should redo it. And you're like, no, thank you. It's not working now. So that's a huge moment in faith. I'm a very big believer science and faith can exist. That is also in our book of resolutions of the United Methodist Church. One does not cancel out the other. We're so relieved that it has brought relief. And also be your advocate and have someone advocate for you. Because sometimes, again, science, faith can work together, but it's your body, and you have every right to say, it's not working right. Any other God moments? Two little holy ones I want to lift up about these traffic was we did end up getting a rental car. And that same stoplight that I did, like, the speed bus moment through, it was starting to turn yellow, and I had gone out in the intersection because there was one car very far away, and I was about to turn, and I truly felt the nudge, don't go. That car is running the red light. They were more than a football field away, and we were at yellow light, and it was, don't go. They're going to run it. And I'm just like, because you never want to be the car in the intersection when it turns green. Like, I'm sorry. But I just waited. And sure enough, it turned red. They were still a building away. Plenty of time to stop, but not at the speed they were going. And they came just right passing through us. And I said, thank you, God. Because I would have turned and Drew was on the passenger side. There is no doubt that would have been a T-bone if I had gone. Sometimes we might be in the right in the world. That doesn't mean it can't avoid disaster. Amen. So hear those urgings. And then 2 days later, Corey's driving Drew home from school. The Pelham Road, I-85. Corey's driving. All of a sudden, he sees smoke in the back of him. It was that big semi-accident that affected like 5-6 cars. I don't know what happened. Literally the second behind Corey. And I share this with you. Some of you, again, might think that's coincidence. I get you. But there's also those moments that God is like, oh, we are having a one-on-one all day, every day this week. Amen. And when you start looking for it, when you start feeling it, share that with others. Because we serve a living God. Did Christ walk 2,000 years ago as a human? Absolutely. And he's probably not doing that right now. But I also have read the end of the Bible, and he's coming back. Amen. So be on the lookout. And that Christ is living within you. The Holy Spirit is guiding you. It can come as a prompting voice. It can come as a flash of light. It can be that urgency, go talk to that person. I have gone up to countless strangers and been like, I know this sounds really weird. Are you okay? And sometimes they're like, fine. Okay. I just really had at this moment that I felt like you just needed to talk. Maybe they did. Maybe they went home and said thank you that at least I was acknowledged. Because sometimes we just need to know that we're real in the world and people see us. So my 5 tips for how witnesses touch. T, truthful. Always be sincere. It can be big. It can be small. It's your truth to share with the world. How you experience God. How God has touched your life. O, outreach, offering, outpour. These miracles that have happened, if I keep them to myself, how is anybody else going to meet Jesus? You might be the only message that they will ever get of Jesus. Amen. Let them see it in your actions and in your life, because they might not be willing to talk to you. Also, it is an offering. Once you give it, it's a gift. Keep what it means to you. And what they do with it is upon them. It might be a seed that will be flourished in 20 years. It might be something they pass on to someone else. You don't know. You understanding. You offer knowledge and understanding of faith, of where you see God. You also offer understanding of the feeling and the emotion that maybe you just need someone to listen. Maybe you need to hear this message. And see, if you're a believer, you're sharing Christ. If you are not a believer, if you are struggling or having a faith crisis, please by all means come talk to me. You have all my contact information in the bulletin. It's UMS. It's printed correctly, but a lot of people put .com instead of .org, and that's why I don't get sometimes your email. But please, please, please reach out if you are having a faith crisis. We can talk, we can listen, we can share scripture, we can just be. See, for compassion, this world has a lot of bristly things going on right now. A little compassion goes a long way. A little charity of love goes a long way. And H, when you are sharing a moment of witnessing, I hope it encourages hope and help. Paul, about Onesimus, hey, Philemon, I want you to continue doing good, and you can do that by offering help to Onesimus. And my help is if you feel you need any payback, that's not on Onesimus, that's on me. Sometimes we have to take the burden from someone else. Sometimes we have to give that helpful advice, like, this is what you could do to help. Let us offer hope and help wherever we can.